Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. As we continue our study today in the book of Romans, and we're still focusing our attention on this marvelous eighth chapter of this book, we see something being explained for us time and time again, the blessings and the benefits of what it means to be a Christian. The great benefit that God has bestowed upon mankind through His love and His mercy, and all because of the merit of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, throughout the book of Romans, first one time and then the other, a blessing that is to be received by those who are respectful of God's system of salvation, we have seen that. And it's particularly emphasized here in the eighth chapter, so much so that when we complete these last few verses of the eighth chapter, I'm going to spend some time reviewing just what is given here in this one chapter of the blessings and the benefits that belong to those who will hear, believe, and obey this marvelous system of salvation that God has designed and delivered by and through the Holy Spirit to mankind, whereby he can be redeemed and saved from his sins. He says in verse 28, and this is where we begin, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." This passage of Scripture is sometimes used in a way, in a manner, that I think we really miss the point of what he's driving at here in this 28th verse. When he says all things work together for good, sometimes people have gotten the idea that, well, everything that happens, why, if you are a servant of God, it's all going to turn out to be all right. Well, of course, ultimately, that's going to be the case when we are ushered into the glories of heaven as the saved. Everything will then be all right, and the sufferings of this present world can't be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's the 18th verse. But now, the things that we see here that are worked out for our good, there are certain things for certain people. And the things that work are what God works. Now, we must look at this passage of Scripture in the context of which the whole book of Romans is given. Romans is telling us of this way that God has saved man. His grace, His mercy, His love, the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, His resurrection, all these things that God has worked, it's for man's good. His system of salvation is for man's good, and God has predetermined some would be saved. And who is it that will be saved? Well, they're those who are called. Those who are called are justified, and those who are justified are glorified. It's those who hear, believe, and obey this system of salvation that God has determined they're going to be saved in heaven at last. These are the good things that God has done. The call, of course, is by the gospel of Christ. Paul tells us that we're called by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 14. And in the very beginning verses of this book of Romans, we learn that the gospel is God's power unto salvation. But friend, we're not to think that this passage means that everything that happens, it's all going to turn out to be rosy and good. No, that's not so. There are many things that happen, and there's no way that you can put a good definition on them. Sin can be a part of a person's life. That's certainly not good. Tragedy sometimes befalls the saint, and that is certainly not good. And the difficulties that the Christian has, it can be of some benefit to him, but oftentimes it's not going to be good for him or for those whom he might influence. And the Christian is influenced by others as well as the gospel, and sometimes the influence of others is not good upon him. But God has predetermined. One is called by the gospel, and when one makes that proper response to the gospel, and that response is obedient faith, why, God has determined that he's the one that shall be justified and ultimately glorified. But can't you see, here is something that we expect to find. When God is explaining to us here in the book of Romans of this system of salvation, it's reasonable to expect that God tells us what's the benefit, what's the value, what are the blessings involved to those that will hear and believe and obey. And then beginning with verse 31 of the 8th chapter. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now, there are certain conclusions that Paul draws as we read through these chapters, and the conclusion here is that God overrules. We are in his care. Things that may seem to oppose us ultimately will be defeated. We shall enjoy a spiritual victory. He even gave his own Son to die, and that on our behalf. And by that plan, he has provided deliverance for us from that which would otherwise spiritually destroy us. And if God would go that far for our good, Paul reasons, will he not also provide for us the things that are needful to the successful conclusion in the matters of the life and of spirit? Well, the answer is most certainly in the affirmative. God will provide for us. And since God has justified, who can stand to condemn what God has justified? Is there any who can overrule the edicts and the judgments of God? Why, indeed not. And since Christ is also the one who intercedes for us, like the Holy Spirit is said to intercede for us under certain conditions when we know not how to pray, the book of Hebrews tells us that Christ ever liveth to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7 and verse 12. Is it not glorious to know that the Son of God is standing before the throne of Almighty God and pleading on our behalf? And this intercession is according to the will of God. That's the way God intended it. That's the way he designed it. That's the way he planned it and has delivered it. You please notice this intercession of Christ. He is said to be at the right hand of God. Now, Acts chapter 2 tells us that to be at the right hand of God means that he is on his throne. And so with Christ in this favored position, how fortunate we are to have him as the one through whom we can come before the Father of spirits. Then Paul reasons, beginning with verse 35, and who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Well, he's continuing to talk about the blessings that we have in Christ. Another rhetorical question, he says here. The attitude that the Christian has and the attitude that the Apostle Paul had was that He was sacrificed for the cause of Christ. Here is a statement, and he's quoting from the 44th Psalm, a statement of complete self-sacrifice. You see, the Christian is as a living dead man for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, who's going to cause God to cease to love us? Why, there's nobody that will. Nobody can keep God from loving us, and nothing will happen that keep God from loving us. In verse 37, he says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Now, a conqueror, of course, is victorious. But the Christian is even going to be more than conquerors. And Paul said, "I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus, our Christ Jesus, our Lord." Friend, we'll never be defeated if we're faithful in the Lord. We will be victorious. And God's love for us is that he is constantly seeking our highest good. Now, to say that God will always love us does not mean that God will always approve of us. He won't approve of us if we're not faithful to him. But there's nothing now, nor yet shall ever come. Nothing so high, so low, nobody, no anything, shall ever separate us from the being and the object of the love of God. And where are these blessings to be found? He said, it is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Throughout the book, he has emphasized the importance of being in Christ. And this teaches us that nothing will cause God to cease to love mankind. Well, this eighth chapter is a most momentous chapter, probably not only of the book of Romans, but maybe of the entire Bible, because in this book that is devoted to revealing to us the way that God has determined to save man from his sins, repeatedly we're having the answer to the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? What's the benefit of being a Christian? What are the blessings of being a Christian and being in Christ? Well, I want to, in our next program, begin with looking at some 20 different blessings that we receive by being a Christian that are found here just in the eighth chapter. Now, as I said, there are many others that have been named along the way as we get to this point. But we've come to this eighth chapter and come to the end of it. We have a great and wonderful summary. Here's the benefit of this system, dear friend, and we want to follow that system. We want you to study the book of Romans. There's nothing that you can think about that's more important than your spiritual salvation. It's more important than your physical life. It's more important than your physical health. It's more important than your economic situation. And there's nothing that surpasses in importance the salvation of your soul and the souls of those around you that you might be able to influence. But how can we be saved? Friend, we'll be saved by and through Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And if we don't go the way that God has provided through Christ, we cannot be saved. But look at the blessings, and we'll consider these in our next study. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.